You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
What an appropriate song for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It is summer in the city, and it's hotter than hell.
At least here in Memphis.
And I think everywhere. We actually got a letter from a listener in Minnesota who said it was 100 degrees up there. But my goodness, speaking about being hotter than hell, I saw a comment online that 645 days ago was the day that Ruth Bader Ginsburg went to hell. And if you think about it, had she died just a little bit later, or had she retired in 2015, history would not have been changed yesterday, but changed it was. And Roe versus Wade is gone. Boom. It's over. And we are going to be talking about that extensively tonight. Welcome to the program. I'm James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander, this Saturday evening, this hot and humid Saturday evening, June the 25th. If you go back in our broadcast archives to the program dated May the 7th of this year, we had a really, really well-done program that offered a treatment on the fact that Roe versus Wade was going to be overturned. So we've known about this for a little over a month and a half, that this was going to happen. And we examined the issue of abortion itself from a legal perspective, from a moral perspective, and from a sexual perspective with guests Sam Dixon, Brad Griffin, and Roger Devlin. Tonight, we're going to be talking about it again, obviously, because of what happened yesterday, but we're going to be looking at it not from the perspective of abortion as an issue, but from the perspective of the left's reaction to the overturning of Roe versus Wade, its ramifications, and does it hasten a national divorce? And helping us do that later tonight will be Lauren Witzke in the second hour, the firebrand former Republican nominee for United States Senate, and once again, Brad Griffin, who has been blogging extensively about this topic since the news broke yesterday over there at Occidental Dissent. Lauren and Brad coming up tonight, but we are going to be looking at this from once again, multiple angles.
Keith. Well, the culture war perspective. In other words, what is this doing? How is this affecting the broader culture war? What is this? Is this the beginning of something big? Or is this just like a meteor flying across the state, this heavens that's going to fizzle out? I know that Sebastian Gorka, Sean Hannity, and people like that want to limit the abortion victory just to the abortion issue. They certainly don't want anything to be done against feminism, against homosexual rights, or, heaven forbid, the civil rights movement. But then the civil rights movement was where it all began.
Yeah,
that
but
was the demon seed. And see, that's what the mainstream of conservatism wants to do. They want to, and they certainly don't want anybody asking impertinent questions about where all of this came from, like Jewish power and influence, for example. That would absolutely throw their cart in the ditch.
But, of course, they don't get to pick, and they don't get to pick the route in which history will take. And I will tell you this, just from a purely historical standpoint, I said this back in May when we covered this issue with the three aforementioned guests. If you'd have told me 2 years ago that the day would come in the very near future where Roe versus Wade was a relic and no longer the so-called law of the land, I would have said 0% chance. I would have said flat zero. And then you had the three nominees that Trump was able to get onto the court. And by the way, Donald Trump deserves to be the one. This is a comment that came in, and he's quite right from our friend Rick up in South Brooklyn. He said that Donald Trump deserves to be the one to spike the football on this. Donald Trump single-handedly delivered this victory for the conservatives.
And one more thing, too. Conservatives have now learned, like liberals, how to lie before Congress.
I laughed at that. So each of these justices, during their confirmation hearings, when asked about the possibility that they would revisit Roe versus Wade, each and every one of them, to a man and to a woman in Barrett's case, said, it's the settled law of the land. We will not revisit that case. We will not take up that case. And then they got in. And this is what the left has always done. And we've always said this. You cannot fight these people on a playing field with which you are bound by honor and truth, and they can break every law in the book, and every rule and every sense of decorum. You have to fight the way the battle is fought. And they did a good thing here in being deceitful during their confirmation hearings.
Well, look, it's Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. One of the main rules was use your adversary's principles against them. That's what the left has done. They insist that we be squeaky clean, goody-two-shoes, never prevaricate, never dissemble, never lie. But on the other hand, they do it routinely, and they, you know, are incredulous if anybody calls them out on it. Well, now they're getting a taste of their own medicine, and this is really, really sweet, ironic revenge for the people on the right.
I said this back in May when we last took up this topic, and I told you then, ladies and gentlemen, that we were going to cover it extensively for a whole show when we found out news that the Supreme Court intended to pass this decision and that we wouldn't take it up again. And I held true to that. We did an extensive three-hour broadcast, very well done, I think, a fine treatment, and we're bringing it up again now because obviously it has happened, so things have changed, but I said at the time, abortion's not my number one issue. If you said, James, you can pick right now. You can seal the border, zero immigration, zero new third world migration, or you can overturn Roe versus Wade, I would say, hey, no brainer. Let's button up the border. We'll deal with our problems in-house later. But I'll tell you the two biggest takeaways I have, Keith, for this is, or my hope at least, or what I enjoy about this ruling. And I was nothing less than euphoric yesterday. Number one, perhaps, and it's a long shot, but hey, no longer of a shot than overturning Roe versus Wade was 2 years ago, or even last year, really, before Ginsburg died, 0% chance. I like the fact that this could hasten a national divorce, potentially. I also love the fact, I got to tell you, Keith, and we said this at supper just before we came into the studio tonight, anything that causes the left this much pain, that brings me joy. If they hate it this much, it must be good for us on some level.
Because we understand how unrelenting their hatred is of us, and we need to strike back. I tell you, one of the best things that I saw was Megan Rapinoe, the lesbo that is on the like the star of the U.S. women's soccer team, weighing in on this and trying to mince her words so that she didn't offend any of the how many 24 or 58 or 175 different gender categories there are now. See, I am a little bit different from a lot of people. I'm different from Sean Hannity and Sebastian Gorka and people like this. I think women's sports has become a haven and a grooming parlor for lesbianism. And I quite frankly would love to see these people discomforted too. It's just, you know, there's so much that the left has done that has degraded American life and culture. And anything that makes them mad is good for me.
We were getting intoxicated on their tears last night, ladies and gentlemen. I wondered, is it possible to overdose on it? I was right there. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
In message 1, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they used the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day, end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Brad Griffin, a.k.a. Hunter Wallace, over there at Occidental Descent, will be joining us in the third hour. And he said, and just like that, abortion is illegal across the Confederacy. And that is most certainly true. And there's just so much more work to be done, though. There's so much more work to be done. James Kirkpatrick at VDare writes, just thinking about all those Christian conservatives who were self-righteously screaming in 2016 that Trump must be stopped at all cost. He delivered for them like no other president could or would. If you believe in God, he really does work in mysterious ways. And in fact, if I can find it here, I probably should have had this ready to go, but I didn't consider it. Yes, we do have a clip. Here it is, just 20 seconds of Trump in the one of the three 2016 presidential debates with Hillary Clinton.
But what I'm asking you, sir, is do you want to see the court overturn? You just said you want to see the court protect the Second Amendment. Do you want to see the court overturn Roe v.
Well, if
Webb?
We put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be, that's will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court. I will say this, it will go back to the states, and the states will then make a determination.
Well, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, that is a promise that was actually delivered. If abortion is your signature issue, if the right to life, whatever you want to call it, this is Christmas and Easter and Halloween. It's every birthday you've ever had. It's all wrapped up into one, what happened. And if it can happen with this, if it can happen with this, perhaps it can happen with some other issues. As a matter of fact, you've already had Clarence Thomas say, hey, by the way, why don't we take a look at homosexual marriage, so-called homosexual marriage, and we could revisit that one as in addition to. And he listed a couple of others. Keith, let's talk about that very quickly. The you made this comment tonight as well, and that was why back in the 50s and 60s when they were putting in all of these completely bogus and illegal rulings, that they went through the judiciary, and you said how we could fix that and what we should do going forward with a lot of these issues using this now as the template.
Okay, let's just be plain spoken about this. Jewish power and influence saw a Achilles heel in the American governmental system. They saw that the federal judiciary was the least democratic and the most impervious to public opinion. And if they wanted to pass something that was unpopular, the route to do that and make it law was through the Supreme Court. All of these Supreme Court decisions, particularly since the end of World War II, have been designed, or most of them have been designed, to transform America into an anti-white nation. Let's just put it that plainly. Things like the Brown versus Board of Education decision, which was based upon a denial of due process. It, first of all, totally ignored stare decisis or case precedent. The case precedent was very clear, Plessy versus Ferguson, which said that separate but equal public facilities did not violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Secondly, it violated the principle of legislative history. The history of the 14th Amendment was that it was made by the same Congress that created a racially segregated public school system in the District of Columbia. So consequently, the people in that Congress could not have considered racially segregated schools to be a violation of the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. But the Supreme Court ignored both of those things and based its opinion on not standard legal orthodoxy and methodology for deciding appellate cases, but on some quack black sociologist's paper on doll studies, where supposedly black children were made to feel inferior because we could tell this because they picked black dolls over white dolls. I mean, white dolls over black dolls. And even that was dishonestly presented to the court. So, see, that's just an example. If you look into all of these cases based on feminism, based on homosexuality, based on, you know, no-fault divorce, things like this, all of these things were done, like I said, to have, if it was not, this was not in mind, it had to be in mind because you couldn't have this type of consistency. Otherwise, what it did, it basically, every one of these left-wing movements resulted in a reduction of white birth rates. Abortion, of course, was right along with that and with Roe versus Wade. So see, people need to understand this. This is much bigger than abortion. You're going to have to get into all these other decisions, and you need to debunk them, unpack them, and do the same to them that the Supreme Court did to Roe versus Wade.
Well, with this thing, they basically just kicked it back to the states, which is where we said all of these evil rulings should have been in the first place, including Brown versus Board. So why not kick them all back to the states? You said, to the very least, at the very least, send it back to Congress.
Well, there are two things. It's either a state or local matter. And, for example, public education was always considered not even a state matter, but a local matter, a matter for your local school board to decide. That's what's called the principle of subsidiarity. The smallest or the nearest to the people level of government should have the most authority in your life, but it was turned upside down by the left in the Supreme Court as the major battering ram in the post-World War II era. That's one thing. The other thing is that if you're going to try to make societal change, don't have it made autocratically by a president or autocratically by a bunch of, ivory tower jurists. It should be going through the legislature. But they knew they could not get this public racial integration of theme passed in the legislature, so they just circumvented it dishonestly by sending it all to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I gotta say something on this point. But what I want to say before I lose my train of thought is this. With regard to all of the people who were protesting this across the country, we saw some video footage of this in many different places. You can shout about it, you can pout about it, you can scream about it, but all of the temper tantrums in the world isn't going to change this decision, so the freaks need to go home. But watching those demonic women scream and cry because they might have to put forth a little extra effort and go to another state before they can murder their babies is really something to behold. And of course, I'm all for the right to choose. Every woman has the right to choose. You can choose whether or not you want to risk pregnancy before engaging in promiscuous intercourse. Now, that's something that nobody's explaining to these idiots. They have the choice, and once that choice is made, you live with the consequences. Going back, though, Keith, to all of these rulings that the left loved so much by the Supreme Court, Brown versus Board, you name it, on and on and on, the Civil Rights Act in the mid-1960s, you name them. The court has spoken. The court is sacrosanct. The Supreme Court has spoken. It is the law of the land. Well,
until it speaks out of the other side of its mouth, and then suddenly the Supreme Court is a evil, arcane institution, the author of the Dred Scott decision, and basically people of goodwill have to demolish
it. We saw it from Nancy Pelosi to people like Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann yesterday said, he once called me, when he still actually had a television show, he once called me the worst person in America. But Keith Olbermann wrote, "It has become necessary to dissolve the Supreme Court of the United States. The first step is for the court, and he puts the word court in quotation marks, has now forced guns upon to ignore this ruling. Great, you're a court. Why and how do you think you can enforce your ruling? So now all of a sudden the left wants things to be nullified. They want you to disregard the
court.
John
C. Calhoun lives again in the on the lips of Keith Olbermann. See, this is what they do. They have no principles. They cannot live with a give and take. They cannot compromise. They think that they have a right to remake all of us in their image, and they don't want to give that up. You know, the real easy solution would be for red state and blue state America to become separate nations.
Well, we're going to talk about that. That's something that we're certainly going to be talking about specifically, and particularly, I should say, with Brad Griffin a little bit later on in the program. But, yes, with regards to all of this stuff with Keith Olbermann and the court, it is just undeniably delicious. I am just so happy to see them hurt like this, and we hope that in their frustration and in their moments of fits and rage that they will continue to make mistakes, just as they did in their overreaction to Trump and who he was and what he was going to be able to do. Of course, with this, they were actually quite right. He was able to do something quite incredible.
What I love most of all is seeing these girly men like Chris Hayes and that Brian Seltzer, whatever his name is, sitting down there trying to cope with the cognitive dissonance that their Supreme Court that they thought they had in their hip pocket has basically gone rogue on them.
We'll be right back. So much more to come on this issue. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin says it's temporarily suspending abortion services in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. At issue is a 173-year-old state law in the books that says it's a felony for virtually any abortion to be performed, except in instances where it is needed to save the mother's life. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said he would not enforce abortion bans in his state. In Massachusetts, Republican Governor Charlie Baker signed an executive order implementing legal protections for reproductive health care providers who serve out-of-state residents. More than a dozen states have trigger laws on the books that would criminalize abortion almost immediately, if not sooner, upon the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt announced the Show Me States ban on Friday. This is USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
At least two are dead, 10 others injured in a shooting at an Oslo, Norway nightclub. Investigators identified the suspect as a 42-year-old Norwegian citizen from Iran. The Norwegian Police Security Service first became aware of the suspect in 2015. They became concerned that he had become radicalized and was part of an unspecified Islamist network. The incident prompted officials to raise the country's terror alert. The last of the 21 victims in the Uvalde, Texas school shooting was laid to rest on Saturday. Uzziah Garcia's funeral was held at a Baptist church in San Angelo, where he lived before moving to Uvalde last year. 19 children and two teachers were killed when a gunman opened fire a month ago. Police response to the incident has been heavily criticized ever since. Wall Street on Friday notched only its second win in the last 12 weeks. The Dow finished 1,612 points higher. The Nasdaq added 809 points. The S&P 500 was higher by nearly 237 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It sort of reminds me about that Miracle on Ice back in the 1970s where the collegiate American hockey team beat the Soviets, the unbeatable Soviet team. I mean, this is where we're at. But all of a sudden, the conservatives wheeled right and let loose the howitzers, and a big citadel of the left has fallen. But will it just be the first of more to come? So you've got Clarence Thomas now saying that, in a concurring opinion, that the SCOTUS should reconsider Griswold, Lawrence, Obergefell, and then some. If you can actually reverse, to me, just me speaking personally, reversing so-called homosexual marriage, I think would be an even bigger victory. To me, I would, if I had to pick again between the two, I'd see that one.
Yeah, I really, I felt like we'd reached the proper balance with don't ask, don't tell. But let me tell you, there's a lot of other decisions. For example, Clarence Thomas himself would be in violation of the law that existed before Loving versus Virginia, which prevented interracial marriage. Now, also, we have the Griswold case, which said that contraceptives, which had previously been outlawed, could not be outlawed. That was before World War II. But see, these type of decisions, there are a lot of them. We've got the Lawrence case, which dealt with sodomy laws, which even though sodomy is basically anything, any type of sexual activity, even between man and woman, that is not designed to lead to procreation, but it was used primarily as a tool by the authorities to punish homosexuality back in the day.
Do you think that SCOTUS will take up? So, of course, they said that they're only taking up this case. They're not going to look into homosexual marriage. But, of course, it wasn't that long ago that they said they weren't going to look into Roe versus Wade. Can you see them looking into other cases, as Thomas says he wants to do?
Yes, I can, because he is now the ranking conservative on the court. Alito is maybe trying to get up there neck to neck with him. But after the death of Scalia, which I think was a hit, quite frankly, I think he was lured out to this remote hunting camp and they could do whatever they wanted, including smother him with a pillow if they wanted to and kill him. That's something that, you know, and the way that his funeral happened so quickly and he was dead and buried before anybody knew what was going on. They may have thought they were taking care of the conservatism on the court.
They didn't plan for Trump.
Well, they didn't. But see, the thing is, Trump got people in on the abortion issue. Now, will Amy Coney Barrett vote against affirmative action? Will Neil Gorsuch vote against homosexual marriage?
I know white conservatives. If Clarence Thomas tells them it's okay, they might. They might.
That's right. That's exactly right. And Clarence Thomas, I think the left thought that he was just going to, you know, he was just a, you know, the amen corner for Scalia. He's proven that he is a strong voice for originalism in the Constitution and for conservative values. And, you know, he's going to really come across. He is becoming the lion of the right on the Supreme Court.
This is one of the funniest, but I'll give the commenter this, one of the funniest comments that I read in all the coverage that I read so many articles yesterday on this and trying to get a pulse of the situation before coming on the air tonight. But this was one hell of a comment, and it's an anonymous commenter. I don't even know who said it or who wrote it, rather. But he wrote, Clarence Thomas is, beyond a doubt, the greatest in the history of his race. All the statues of the communist fraud MLK should be torn down and replaced with statues of Clarence.
I agree. I mean, Clarence Thomas is just, you know, he is the best surprise package we've ever had on the Supreme Court. But because he's not just a Me Too person, which is what the left thought he was as long as Scalia was alive. He's taking the mantle. He's taking the baton from Scalia, and he's running with it.
I will tell you this, though. Abortion shouldn't be an issue. It shouldn't be an issue because, again, every woman has the right to choose whether or not they're going to engage in unprotected sex that will result in a pregnancy. They have that. They have
that
choice.
On the other hand, though, just think about this: the Griswold decision. You say protected.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Clarence Thomas wants to eradicate contraception. Yeah. But here's another reason why abortion shouldn't be an issue. Have you seen the people, men and women, but we'll focus on the women right now, who are attending these rallies to defend the right to murder these children? Because I was there at the inauguration. Now, of course, we've all seen them on TV, but I saw them up close and personal. I shared this story before, but when we were at the inauguration of Trump, the Women's March was the very next day. So we were running into these people across town for the whole weekend. And you look at these people, and they are so hideous and so grotesque, physically and spiritually, and so vulgar. Obviously, when you drink from the fountain of the culture of death, when you have this inside you, it doesn't just rot your soul, it
affects your appearance.
It does. It manifests outwardly. And so another reason why abortion,
like,
honestly,
the picture of Dorian Gray, the novel by Oscar Wilde, you know, if you really saw, if their face was a mirror of their soul, and it is a lot of times in this, for example, I look at those women, too, and I say, is there a man in the world so horny that he wants to have sex with one of them?
That's the point. That is actually the point I was about to make. Another reason why abortion shouldn't be an issue. What kind of men are willingly having sex with the hideous and vulgar witches that we have seen on the streets yesterday and today? That is another cause for concern. What kind of men are doing this?
Well, I think the women that are supporting this, you know, the women that are against doing away with abortions, they're the ones that basically want to stop anybody from procreating. They say, we are not doing it, so you can't do it either. We're going to transform society. Society is going to be run according to our rules and not your rules. And your rules would be Christian rules or traditional, conventional American rules.
Okay. All right. Well, there's so much more to come about this. We will talk about what this all means in the bigger picture, which is certainly much bigger than the issue of Roe versus Wade being overturned, with Brad Griffin in the third hour. He's written some really good takes on this, as he so often does, at Occidental Dissent. Lauren Witzke coming up, of course, in the next hour. And I've got a little message from the heart for you in the following segment. But name the cases, Keith, 1 to 5, or the rulings or the decisions, whatever you want to call it, that should be overturned. 1 through 5, besides Roe.
Brown versus Board of Education, number one. That's the thing that started the whole liberal juggernaut rolling. And it was cloaked in such a mantle of benevolence and, you know, beauty and wonderfulness by all of the, you know, people on the right and the left, that no one could attack it. But it was the first assault on the Citadel, and it basically provided the blueprint for everything else that has passed since then. Then I would say that
we got to go quickly.
Obergefell.
That would be your second choice?
Yeah.
Of all the bad stuff that's come out of the Supreme Court.
Well, not out of all of the stuff. Let me see. There's
you don't have to necessarily order them. Just give me 5.
Okay, Obergefell, Lawrence. Let me see. What else have we got? Taking prayer and Bible reading out of classes. There were 2 cases. I forget what they are called now. And the Roe versus Wade case.
People, of course, are talking about the 1964 Civil Rights Act, Shelley versus Kramer.
Well, Shelley versus Kramer, all the civil rights, I put everything under Brown on that, but Shelley versus Kramer, Sweat versus Painter.
Explain to the audience what some of these.
Okay, Sweat versus Painter attacked law school education in Texas. Blacks brought the suit because they couldn't get into the University of Texas Law School. Texas created a black law school, thinking that that would pass under separate but equal. This was back in the 40s, before the Brown decision. But the court said that it wasn't of the same prestige, so it really wasn't equal, even though it was separate. Then you had Shelley versus Kramer, which did away with restrictive covenants in real estate deeds. In other words, it used to be that if you lived in a white neighborhood, you could not sell your house to a black person. And, well, you know, that basically Think of all the money people have lost when the neighborhood goes black throughout the nation. Think of all the money white people have had to pay because the public schools have been turned into the black hole of Calcutta by the Brown decision and its progeny, all of those things. Those are the two. Basically, race caused American education to go in the toilet. American education in 1954 was the number one public education system in the world. Now, today, it's number 38, and nobody on the left or right wants to discuss that. And the reason for it is real clear: racial integration of public education. That's it. You know, enforcing it in terms of busing, not just allowing desegregation as it started out with Brown, but moving to compelled integration.
Ladies and gentlemen, the impossible has happened. I am thrilled about it because it proves that things can change, and change can happen drastically and quickly. But there is so much more to be undone. We'll get to it. We'll be back right after this. Got an important message to share with you next.
American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Calling all patriots. Come meet a modern-day hero, Tom Jones, on day 68 of his 76 marathons in 76 days on behalf of the American Village West. We'll be at the Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah on Friday evening, June 24th at 5 p.m. There will be free food and drinks. Who is Tom Jones? Loving Liberty's Sam Bushman interviewed him on day one in Alabama just moments before he began his first marathon. Get to know Tom at UnitedWePledge.org.
Okay, Keith, we're going to take a break from this issue until the second and third hour. I want to pivot here just momentarily, just for this segment. Then we'll get Lauren Witzke, and then we'll get Brad Griffin in the second and third hour. So stay tuned for that. We're going to continue to look at this from a couple of different angles. And I want to share with you folks a quick message that's been on my heart this week. Keith, give us a one-minute closing for this hour from the terms of
What is the relationship between abortion and public school racial integration? Well, there was one, unfortunately. People suddenly had to pay to send their kids to private school to avoid throwing them into the black hole of Calcutta that the public schools had become. I'm sure there were plenty of parents who lived in fear that they would have the fourth or fifth child and it would capsize the boat. They could no longer afford to send their children to private school.
Well, you've said it this way, Keith. There are a number of white Christian families who have limited the size of their family to the number of kids they could afford to send to private schools, because sending them to public schools at a place like Memphis or Atlanta or Detroit would be, you might as well just kill them.
And some of them, I'm sure, did go to abortion, because abortion, again, gets endorsed by our society as perfectly normal and natural, and it would be an infringement on a woman's rights if we didn't have it. See, all of this leads to a slippery slope. What we need is a society and a legal structure that confirms and supports people having families naturally without contraception, without anything else, basically just have all the children that God intended you to have, the quiverful. But see, some things have changed since 1954. One thing, for example, now is I don't think you can protect your children from the poisons of the public schools by sending them to private school, because the private schools draw water from the same well.
So they're still getting accredited by the same...
accredited, and they're also hiring the graduates of the same colleges of education as the public schools. See? Things like that.
But it was different at private Christian schools as late as the 80s and early 90s when I was there.
Exactly. And see, the thing is, our children, when things like that happen, they have to be protected. Now, I don't think there's any way to protect your children, even if you are a multimillionaire. You have to send them to, you have to do homeschooling, basically. That's unfortunately the situation we're in now because of the degradation of education, both public and private, primary and secondary and college.
Whereas before Brown versus Board, as late as the early 1950s, you could send your kids to an all-white private school and get a college education.
And not only that, see, I was in a place in Memphis where the public officials fought like heck against the Brown and principle, the principles of racial integration in the school. So I was able to get all the way through school without running into the catastrophe that kids had to go to school in public schools back when we had busing. I got a good education. The people in the richest neighborhoods in Memphis sent their kids to public school. Back when I went to school, if you went to a private school, that meant you were either a Roman Catholic or a problem child.
That's right.
And what a wonderful world that was.
That's a great way to tie in. We're going to send you to the green room, get some water for that cough. But a great way to tie in the life issue with Brown versus Board and education and integration.
All of this is related, and all of it leads to the reduction of white birth rates.
Ladies and gentlemen, that said, we're going to continue our coverage on this issue with two great guests forthcoming, but I just wanted to take a moment here. It was on my heart to do so this week to thank you folks for sticking with us for all these years. As you may know, I had a birthday last Wednesday. I'm not saying I'm old, but I am now firmly middle-aged. It was my 42nd birthday on Wednesday. I was 19 years old when I started working for Pat Buchanan, 22 when I ran for a seat in the Tennessee State Legislature, and I started this radio program when I was 24, and the last 18 years have flown by. Now, at my house growing up, birthdays were a big deal. Some people celebrate them, some people don't. Some people don't even know when they come and go. But for us, birthdays were a week-long thing, and it was sort of like Christmas and New Year's Eve wrapped up into one, where you really kind of took stock on where you were and what you've done and the experiences you've had. And I still do that. And it's really gone by fast, folks. From the bottom of my heart, I want you to know how much I appreciate each and every one of you who are tuned in tonight, and any of you who have tuned in over the course of the last 18 years for taking part in this journey with us. On my birthday and every day, I'm thankful for you. And frankly, being able to share a program with folks like you makes every day a birthday in some ways. It's just an incredible honor to share these special occasions with the finest people I've ever known, and it's a gift that I don't take for granted. You, ladies and gentlemen, have helped make my life. I have a wonderful wife. You've helped her, though, make my life quite wonderful. And, you know, over these years, I've met all kinds of people doing this for nearly two decades. I've met kooks and cranks and blowhards who talk a big game, but they don't really ever back it up with anything other than bluster. Let's face it, anyone can vomit into a microphone. I've met people who engage in fits of jealousy and backbiting and drama, people who aren't team players. And I'm proud that we've always flown above that turbulence here at TPC. People who are bottle rockets. They join the ranks and they fizzle and fall out very quickly. And so many other defective personalities, hotheads, people who lack the ability to discern between what's courageous and what's stupid, very small and childish people. But I'm proud to say that the people that I have just mentioned have been very few and far between in these ranks. I'd say that the people that I have known and worked with over these years, less than 5% fit in any of the categories that I just mentioned. Overwhelmingly, the very best people that I've ever met in my life, in my entire life I've met as a result of this work. I have met the brave, the good, the generous, the kind, the attractive, people who work for something eternal and far greater than themselves, the guests who we have featured on this program, and the people in this audience whom I've had the honor of meeting.
People that have the courage to swim against the tide.
They have been practically universally wonderful. The very best sort that our world has to offer. And we've grown together, and we've suffered together, and we've endured together. And that's something. That's something. And now that I'm middle-aged, that's really something. Almost two decades doing it, that's really something. And I look back at the very beginning, Keith, and you know, back in the very beginning, we were doing things in the streets. It's not just on the radio. We have actually done things in the streets. And I put my name to the permits. And I'm actually reading from an article now that talks about one of those very early things that we used TPC to mobilize. Here's an article, and I'm reading from it. In 2005, the staff of the political cesspool organized a rally at the Tennessee park known as Confederate Park in Memphis, which, along with two other Confederacy-themed parks in downtown Memphis, was the subject of longtime controversy for honoring Confederate soldiers and ideals. The park had been criticized earlier by a black Shelby County official, which attracted the notice of New York-based activist Al Sharpton, who was invited by the city of Memphis. Sharpton planned a march called the Rally for Dignity from downtown Memphis to another park honoring Confederate Lieutenant General Nathan Bedford Forrest. Sharpton canceled the march after James Edwards obtained a permit to demonstrate along his planned march route. Sharpton settled for a protest at Forest Park. At the demonstration, he argued that we need to show the rest of the world that the day of honoring people like this is over, and said in an interview that his objections were not related to race, but to Forrest's Civil War era actions against the United States. Estimates of attendance at the rallies vary. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, James Edwards attracted 200 white counter-demonstrators to the Confederate Park vigil, while Sharpton's protest at Forest Park attracted a few dozen black demonstrators whom Edwards referred to as rabble. We outdrew Al Sharpton as a result of what we did on this program, and it was
even
also
according
mentioned
to the SPLC, who is definitely not friendly towards us.
And it was also mentioned in the media at that time that it was the only time Sharpton had canceled a planned march and settled for a standalone location. We did that, ladies and gentlemen. You understand? 2015, we did it again. I had an agent with the Department of Homeland Security tell me to stop promoting an event that we were going to draw more people than we were permitted to have. This was in 2015 at Forest Park. We drew 500 people. 500 people in 2015. I put my name on the line for our people and our cause. I didn't talk about doing it. I actually did it, and we did it well. And I hope that my actions and the actions of this program and our team and the commentary here have never brought shame onto our cause. I hope that our cause has benefited from it.
But see, we've fought and we've lost eventually on things like that. They've took down Forrest's statue. They took down Jefferson Davis's statue in Confederate Park here in Memphis. But it could be now the times they are changing, as Bob Dylan said, because of the Roe versus Wade reversal. Believe me, this has triggered the left like nothing else I've seen in my life.
If they move out, hey, who knows? But I try to use common sense to guide my decision-making. I have no regrets. I've never apologized. I only wish we could have done more, and I only wish that we can accomplish more for the greater glory of our people going forward. I do what I say, and I say what I mean. That's a full stop.
We fought the good fight from the very beginning, and James in particular has. We have been there sometimes in the lonely position of being the, you know, the people to take all the slings and arrows that the left had to throw at us. But now it's beginning to bear fruit. Now there has been a sea change in the outlook of Americans. I think that the sea change has happened because they've moved into the area of sexual perversion as a civil right. And this is a bridge too far for
and
many people.
Keith, and it's not just that, and what we're talking about here with regards to Roe. I mean, we've been quoting and citing polls for the last year and a half that say that whites are waking up on racial issues, and you know we've been a part about that, ladies and gentlemen. A listener asked me one time if I could list all the publications and programs that have attacked me and attacked this program. I said it'd be quicker to list the ones that haven't. And that's been my life. That's been my entire adult life. And I guess I could have started sooner than the age of 19, but I don't know if I'd have been able to drive. And we have been attacked by everybody in the media, radio programs, television programs, the biggest networks, every publication, newspapers, magazines, books, you name it. And we've never backed down. And I am proud of that. I'm proud of the legacy. On birthday, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the life that I've led. I'm proud of the life that you've helped to give me, ladies and gentlemen. Continue to support our work, and we will continue to do everything we can to bring glory and honor and power to our cause.
We've been slugging away in good times and in bad.
Been a great ride, Keith. It's been a great ride. Been a great ride with you. It continues in the next hour and hopefully for a long, long time to come. But, of course, the credit for all of this goes to our loyal listeners. It's not me, 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 or I. It's you, you, you. I'm just the guy that's been lucky enough to
have
your support.
You're our family.
I hope you're as proud about it as I am, and we'll continue to take our shared message beyond the reach of this program together. We'll be right back.